This Monday morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have Notes of Hope from Puya Fanai, a recipe from Gia and Olive, a musical journey into the thoughts of redemption, and more.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, we're delighted to be starting this week together, you know, and we hope you had a fantastic weekend, friends.
We sure do. It's the start of a new month and December is all about giving. Did you know that December is tagged as National Giving Month?
And isn't it true that it's a blessing to give rather than to receive? You know, after all, that's what Jesus said. He said those very words. Mm-hmm. It is more blessed to give than to receive.
So true. So friends, think of some creative ways you can give this month. Beyond just giving a financial gift, consider giving your time, your expertise, or a listening ear.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. And in the process, remember the greatest gift of all time that was given for you and me, a Savior. His name is Jesus, and we can't wait to share more of the hope we have in Him with you today. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in the year 1804, in Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, Napoleon Bonaparte was crowned Napoleon I, the first Frenchman to hold the title of emperor in 1,000 years. Pope Pius VII handed Napoleon the crown that the 35-year-old conqueror of Europe placed on his own head.
You know, to be crowned, friends, to be crowned. I'm sure it was a moment of excitement and grandeur for Napoleon Bonaparte, especially considering he was the first Frenchman in 1,000 years to hold such a title. Wow. But did you know that we have an even greater crown to look forward to, one that surpasses any earthly crown? Let me share with you a beautiful passage. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And it says, "In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing."
Amen.
Oh, yes. That crown will be worth more than any other crown, more than anything else we have here on earth. And I can't wait, friends. I can't wait. So let's stay faithful to Jesus as we look forward to his faithful appearing and that eternal crown of glory.
And he's going to put it on our head. We're not going to have to put it on our own head.
That's right. That's right.
Well, it's now time to go into the kitchen as Gia Olive and a special little guest, Hannah, whip up another delicious recipe this morning. And this time, they're making chickpea samosas.
In 3, 2, 1.
Hi, I've got my little helpers in the break. They went for a swim, so they're all covered up. And we are making chickpea samosas this morning, aren't we? Yeah? Yummy? Do you like chickpeas? Yes, I know Hannah really likes chickpeas and Olive's been eating them all, so I don't know there's going to be much left for our recipe. So this is a sanitarium recipe and I absolutely love it because it's easy, it freezes really well, and it calls for 2 cans of chickpeas. 2 cans of chickpeas. Everything can be done in the food processor, so there's nothing to it. I've got 1 whole red onion. I just throw it in there. You don't have to put chili in it, but it does add a bit of spice. Careful, because if you touch this and then touch your eyes, it'll burn. 1 clove of garlic, throw it in there. The rind from the lemon juice that we're going to put in there. So one lemon juice and rind from that lemon. Put it in there. And usually we use fresh coriander, but we actually couldn't find any, so there must be a shortage at the moment. So we're using semi-dried coriander, and it's a whole bunch. Okay, you can put it in. All right. Whole bunch of coriander. Usually I just put the whole stem in there, the whole coriander stem, or half a bunch, depending on how big the bunch is. Oh, I'm going to add a little bit. The sanitarium recipe doesn't have salt, but I like to add 1/2 teaspoon of any good salt, like Himalayan. There we go. And we are now going to roll. There we go. Okay. And I'm going to scrape the sides down a little bit. Can you see the texture? So it's a bit flaky. We don't want it to be mush. You still want it to be a little flaky.
It you can put salad in there.
Okay, that's it, done. Can you switch it up for me? Good work. Okay, so we'll take it off and put it in here. So not too mushy, still flaky. This phyllo pastry, I didn't deep freeze it properly. You're supposed to defrost it for a little while, and so maybe a quarter of it's missing. So I'm just going to use this one. Usually you can make four of them.
Can I eat?
No, you can't. You guys just want to eat everything. Do you want to help me spray? Mm-hmm. We're going to spray a little bit of oil on top.
Yeah.
A little bit, just a little bit. And we're going to put another phyllo pastry on top. And I might just touch of spray again, just so it sticks properly. And I cut with this one, I think maybe we can make three.
For us.
But usually you can make four on a good size. And just one spoon, one heaped tablespoon on the top. It's okay if yours is a little more mushy. And then you just fold it over one side to make like a triangle. Can you see that? And then you fold down and you keep folding into triangle shape until you've got your samosa. And then you put it on a tray, a baking tray, and we will be doing that and we'll come back
and
show you the finished product. Our samosas are out of the oven and they cooked perfectly. So as you can see here, they've just lightly browned, golden brown. And I'm going to throw them on a plate. Don't forget that you can freeze these before you've cooked them. So as soon as you've made them into little triangles, you can put them in the freezer in a plastic bag and they'll last. Please visit us on our social media and let us know if you make any of our recipes. Please comment and let us know how they turn out. See you next time. Say bye.
Bye.
Our friends from Livit join us now to share a special segment on water and why we should make it a point to make sure we're drinking enough water.
Think about how much water you drink in a typical day.
Would you drink more water if you knew it would reduce your risk of heart disease by half?
About 40% of people in this country die of cardiovascular disease. So it is a serious disease that develops over many, many years. And the good news is it is preventable.
Heart disease is caused when any blockage in your arteries keeps the heart from receiving enough blood.
The buildup of plaque can result from risk factors like smoking, high cholesterol, and high blood pressure.
This Loma Linda University health study followed 34,000 Californians over 15 years.
Both men and women who drank 5 or more glasses of water per day had about half the risk of dying of coronary heart disease.
And that's the simple tip for the day.
Drink at least 5 glasses of water every day to lower your risk for heart disease.
You can spice it up with some lemon, lime, or orange slices.
Herbal teas without sugar have also shown a similar effect on lowering your risk of heart disease.
But remember, drinks like juice and soda are high in sugar and won't give us the benefit of lowering your risk of heart disease.
There's your simple tip for the day on how you can live healthier longer.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment.
And search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us.
We have to take a quick break now, but when we return, we'll have music.
The promise was made a long time ago. Jesus said, "I will come again." And that was already a reassurance of what he affirmed in the beginning. He said he would come to slay the serpent and settle the problem of sin. He said he would bring us back to him. When we fail to believe his word, he promised to deliver us from death. When we put him to death, he resurrected as our only hope for eternal life. And right before he departed, Jesus reassured us with the same promise. I will come again. He said he would come soon, but it's been a while. And as time goes by, his voice seems more distant. Year after year, death smashes us against the reality that we too shall pass. Day after day, we are confronted with the pain and sorrows of our souls and the afflictions of others. It seems like the entire nature groans for help. And where is Jesus through all of this? Why hasn't he come to end the suffering, to crown our faith, to deliver us from this world of evil? Why doesn't he come soon? Well, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The promise was made a long time ago. He will come again. You can rest assured. And this day is nearer than it's ever been. Just believe.
A lovely group of young people from Fountain View Academy, located in British Columbia, will now bless us as they remind us of the joy of being redeemed. They will be singing the all-time classic hymn, Redeemed.
No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell.
Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am.
Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. His love is the theme of my song.
His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
When we return, Puya Fanai will be sharing today's devotional message. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's now time for today's devotional thought. Puya Fanai is here to share notes of hope with us this morning.
Hello, friend. Thank you so much for joining me today as we talk about life and how to live every day with hope. Today, I want to talk about pain and suffering. Wow, that's a big topic. Yes, it is. Come with me to the letter of Paul to the Romans, where he wrote these words in chapter 5 of Romans, from verse 3 to verse 5. It says, or Paul says rather, "And not only that, But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. According to Paul, in this text, he said, we glory in tribulation. What is he saying? Paul, what in the world are you trying to say? That you are happy when you suffer? That you are glory? You're glorifying God in your tribulation? Why would Paul say that? Well, according to Paul, apparently when he goes through suffering, trials, and tribulations, God actually used those experiences so that God can produce perseverance in the character of Paul. And then persevering, good character. And from character to hope. And hope does not disappoint because God has poured out his love into our hearts, according to Paul. We may ask, who is Paul to be able to say these words? Well, for one, he was an apostle of Jesus. He met Jesus on his way to Damascus. Jesus spoke to him directly and invited him to be his follower. And as a result of following Jesus, Paul experienced so many tribulations. He suffered so many times, being thrown into prison, being stoned at, being persecuted, being thrown out of the city. He suffered. In fact, many of his letters were written from prisons. Paul wrote many of his great encouragement and letters to the different churches while he was suffering. Why was Paul able to say these encouraging words through his suffering? Well, I believe Paul understood something, and it is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And let me read this for you. Paul wrote, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." So according to Paul, all things, even our suffering, even our trials, even our tribulations, even our problems, can be used by God to bring about the best results. All things work together for good to those who love God. You know, when I was a teenager, my father decided to send me to a different country to study. I left my home country of Myanmar to go to India to study for high school. For 2 years, I was in India. In my first year, I found it to be a really difficult experience. Number one, because I was a foreigner. I was new to India. I didn't have friends. Number two, a lot of the times, many of my classmates made fun of me because I had a different accent or that I had a different way of talking or just because I wasn't rich. Many experiences were too painful for myself to even recount. But one thing I have realized over the years is that looking back, God repurposed my trials, my discomfort, my tribulation, no matter how small they may be in comparison to other sufferings of people. God repackaged them. And in turn, God has allowed me to help others who may experience the same that I went through. Looking back, in some ways, like Paul, I'm able to say, well, you know what? I'm able to give thanks to God because of what I went through. Through my trials, through what I experienced as a teenager, being in a situation where I was not welcomed immediately, being in a situation where I was a foreigner, being in a situation where I was an outsider, it helped me to be sensitive to the sufferings of others. Later in my life, as I finished college, I decided to help people through the preaching of the word, through the sharing of these words of encouragement with others. And I have found that, yes, what I went through as a teenager, being in a new environment where I was mocked, where I was made fun of, was not good. No one should experience that. No one should ever have to go through that. But life throws all kinds of challenges at us. And through those challenges, if we're willing to allow God to work through our experiences, God can repackage those experiences so that we, in turn, can be a blessing for others. It's not that God wants us to intentionally suffer those trials and tribulations, but rather, through the trials and tribulations of this world, the problems of sin, and the pain of suffering, God suffers through those experiences with us, and God repackages them so that we can use our experiences to bless others instead. My dear friend, I don't know what you're going through today. Maybe you are suffering immensely. Maybe it is a physical pain that you don't understand why you're going through. Or maybe it is an emotional pain that you don't know why you're suffering. Maybe you may be in a situation where you cannot control the reasons why you are suffering. No matter what your suffering may be, no matter what your tribulations may be, you can trust the Word of God through Paul that all things eventually will bring about good results for those that love God. I want to encourage you to keep on holding on to God, to keep on holding to the promise of God through your suffering, through your trials, trusting that one day God is going to repackage what you are going through or what you went through so that you can in turn change the world and make the world a better place so that you can be a blessing for others who may be experiencing the same trials or similar trials that you have experienced. So, dear friend, let's live today with hope. Let's not bring the past, the weight and guilt of the past to today and the future, but let's trust that God is with us through our trials and He can repurpose our pain and suffering into a blessing. God bless you today.
Thank you so much, Puya.
And thank you so much, friends, for being with us here today and watching Wake Up With Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we invite you to join us tomorrow morning. Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We'll have a dedicated prayer session and we'll be busting myths about fats and oils. Be sure to join us.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Our free Bible studies have helped so many people connect with Jesus. So be sure to start yours today. Again, that's hope.study.
And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's promise comes from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8.
It says, He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove His people's disgrace from all the earth.
You know, friends, as you go about your day and throughout your life, always keep in mind that God has something better coming. There is a heaven that He longs to see all of us in. You know, a place where there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to be there.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how thankful we are to be able to have a hope, as the old hymn says, that burns within our hearts. We pray, Lord, that You would keep this promise in our minds and hearts as we confront at times the pain of this world. But may we remember that there is a day coming when You will usher in a new kingdom, something better. And so we thank You for this hope that You have given us for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.